How many of you can honestly say, I met somebody today I've never seen before? Yes! Okay, all you people, thanks for being honest about not raising your hand, but... All right, we are, for those of you who have not been to our church before or you haven't been here recently, first of all, my name is Sue Schenck. I'm married to Merle Schenck, our handsome, good-looking lead pastor. And we are in the middle of a series called God Breathed, based on a B90 Bible reading plan that we're doing. We, along with other churches in this area and all over the U.S., actually, are attempting to read through the Bible in 90 days. And honestly, like, I read through, like, some of Leviticus and Chronicles, and I'm, like, by faith saying all Scripture is God-breathed and useful. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful, because it's just not very exciting. But if you've been pretty much following the list, we are at the halfway point. Yes! So I'm, you know, I've told you before, I'm like task structured, very, so I got all my checks, and I'm like, yes, I got up to the other side. And it reminded me of when my kids were little. My parents lived in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and in order to make it a little bit more pleasant to travel with them, I'd take them down there by myself, and I'd get them up out of bed at like 5 in the morning and just get them in the van in their pajamas, and they would fall back asleep. And when we got to literally the halfway point, it was a McDonald's in Petersburg, Virginia. And I was like, yes, we are halfway there. So I feel like we're at the McDonald's of the B90 because we're halfway there. If you were here last week, A.J. Mosley, one of the pastors from Duck Divine Unity Community Church, spoke. It was an excellent sermon. If you were not here, I highly recommend you go on our website and listen to that. And one of the things he talked about is how, as we're reading, we're forming this, like, brick by brick. Like, every bit of reading that we do is like laying another brick in our foundation. And he talked about how we're building and we're building. This past week, our B90 reading, if you go by the little bookmark here, had us in Psalm 69 all the way through Song of Solomon. And again, if you think the scriptures are boring, like, I challenge you just to think differently. Psalms and Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And, you know, Ecclesiastes I read through, I thought, this guy's like sort of depressed, I think. He just was like, basically, what's it all worth? Like, why bother? I mean, that is sort of the feel of it. And then you get to Song of Solomon, and it's pretty sexually charged. And so there's some stuff going on there. But I read it yesterday, and I was in the kitchen reading it, and Merle was back in the bedroom reading it, and I came into the bedroom and I said, if you ever say that I have a belly that looks like a heap of wheat or that my nose looks like the Tower of Lebanon, I will smack you. I mean, it cracked me up. I thought, that is not a compliment. What are you thinking? Like, honey, your belly looks like a heap of wheat. I would be like, bap, you know. So I'm telling you, there's good stuff in the Bible, and it's not boring by any means. Okay, so we were reading Psalms through Song of Solomon this past week. And again, there is so much. And I just think, Lord, how do I narrow this down to talk about one thing for 30 to 35 minutes? Well, in going with AJ's brick theme, I'm not going to try and throw multiple bricks at you today and cover every topic that was talked about in these chapters, but I do want to help us just lay one brick, and that is the brick called wisdom. I feel like it's an important enough brick that, quite honestly, I believe it should be a part of our foundation of our faith, the very foundation. So it may require you moving around some of the bricks you've already laid, but I guarantee you it will be worth the rearranging. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that your word, your whole word, is God-breathed. Lord, every word in this book is breathed from your being, and it is full of life. And so, Father, the words that we cover today, I pray that they would breathe afresh your life into our hearts, whether we've only seen it for the first time today or we've read them multiple times over. Lord, breathe your breath on us today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, how many people in the last couple weeks have had a thought, something like, I really need wisdom in this particular area. Yep. Or how many of you have been approached to give wisdom in a particular area? Have had someone ask you, what do you think I should do? Anybody? Well, some elementary school kids were asked to give some wisdom about moms. And let me read you what they read. This is called Wisdom from Kids About Mom. Answers given by elementary school-age children to the following questions. Question, why did God make mothers? She's the only one who knows where the scotch tape is. Mostly to clean the house. This one I like. To help us out of there when we're getting born. Question two, what ingredients are mothers made of? Well, God makes mothers out of clouds and angel hair and everything nice in the world and one dab of mean. Second answer was, they had to get their start from men's bones, and then they mostly used string, I think. Question three, why did God give you your mother and not some other mom? One child said, we're related. And the second said, God knew she likes me a lot more than other people's moms like me. Question four, what kind of little girl was your mom? One child answered, my mom has always been my mom and none of that other stuff. Another one answered, I don't know because I wasn't there, but my guess would be she was pretty bossy. And answer three, they say she used to be nice. Question five, what's the difference between moms and dads? One child answered, mom works at work and works at home. Dads just go to work to work. Answer two, I'm just reading them like I see it. Answer two, which is not true at our house. My husband works at home too. Answer two, mom knows how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Answer three, dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's who you have to ask if you want to sleep over at a friend's. Question six, what does your mom do in her spare time? Answer one, mothers don't do spare time. Answer two, to hear her tell it, she pays bills all day long. Question seven, what would it take to make your mother perfect? On the inside, she's already perfect. Outside, I think some kind of plastic surgery. Answer two, dye it. You know, her hair. I dye it, maybe blue. And the last question, if you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Answer one, she has this weird thing about me keeping my room clean. I'd get rid of that. Answer two, I'd make my mom smarter. Then she would know it was my sister who did it and not me. And answer number three, I would like for her to get rid of those invisible eyes on her back. So great thoughts and opinions, but I don't know that I would necessarily call it wisdom, and certainly not the kind of wisdom that we're called to get in Scripture. Today I want to help us to, I named the sermon, Wise Up to Wisdom. Wise up means to become aware of and informed about. So this morning I want to help us to become, to wise up to wisdom. How do I get it? What does it involve? What does it look like? It's a key brick. Again, going back to that analogy, it is a key brick that we have to have in our foundation. And if we don't, our foundation can be pretty shaky. And it's a key ingredient to us growing deep. You know, our mission is to love big, grow deep, and go out. Having wisdom is really key in growing deep. Let me just say, wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Somebody can have a lot of knowledge and have a huge IQ and still not be wise. Wisdom is not the same thing as knowledge. Knowledge is simply an accumulation of raw facts. But wisdom is the application of that knowledge in very specific, God-honoring ways. I like what one commentator wrote. He said, knowledge is what is gathered over time through the study of Scripture. It can be said that wisdom, in turn, acts properly upon that knowledge. Wisdom is the fitting application of knowledge. Knowledge understands the light has turned red. Wisdom applies the brakes. Knowledge sees the quicksand. Wisdom walks around it. Knowledge memorizes the Ten Commandments. Wisdom obeys them. Knowledge learns of God. Wisdom loves him. Today, if you have your Bibles with you, we're pretty much going to stay in the book of Proverbs. And if you're not familiar with Proverbs, I'll just give you a little brief overview of it. It's a book compiled by several authors, but mainly by King Solomon, who asked for wisdom, got a gift of wisdom. And it was written during his reign, which was 970 to 930 BC. They're considered short instructions for effective living. And the neat thing I like about Proverbs is there's 31 chapters to it. And so if you have ever thought, Lord, I don't know what to do for a devotional, or I don't know how to start reading the Bible, take one chapter of Proverbs a day for a month. And you just have one a day and just meditate on that. And you know what? If you still don't know what to do after that month, start all over again. Because there's so much good stuff in Proverbs, you won't get tired of it. So there's 31 chapters, short instructions to living an effective life. And it's pretty much concerned with instructing people in the path of wisdom. And there's very, very, very topics that it covers. Personal conduct, sexual conduct, wealth, charity, ambition, child rearing, character, alcohol, just a lot of different topics. I read through scripture and I think very practically, and I'm thinking, you know what? I think we get a glimpse into Solomon, because four times he mentioned what a quarrelsome or contentious wife is like. I'm thinking, I think there was some little, he was taking a jab. He talks about how a contentious wife, quarrelsome, twice, he says, is like a dripping faucet. One time he says, it's better to live in a desert than to live with a quarrelsome wife. And another time he says, it's better to live in the corner of a room than with a contentious wife. I'm like, I think we got it the first time, but he had to emphasize it three more times. So you do have to kind of wonder. Okay, I wonder. Anyway, Proverbs covers a lot of topics. And you know what? None of the statements in there are ridiculous. Like, they're really wise. I don't read those and think, that is the stupidest thing I've ever read. I think, that's really true. That's really wise. It's one of the best how-to books ever written. Okay, so if you're somebody with a short attention span, you're in luck today, because I'm going to hit you with one of my main points right at the very beginning before you get distracted by how hungry you are and you start tuning me out. So if you are wondering, how in the world do I get started on this journey to find wisdom? Here is the answer. Proverbs 1:7. Wisdom begins with the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 9:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 15:33. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom. Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A very foundational truth that we need to establish right from the beginning is that wisdom, true, biblical, godly wisdom, begins with having the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, let me clarify something. It does not say a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It says the fear of the Lord. And there's actually a huge difference. A fear of the Lord has me cowering, shaking, afraid of him, afraid of God, afraid of his responses. A fear of God can keep me from approaching him, going before him in prayer. I mean, we pretty much avoid anything that we have a fear of. But the fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is an attitude that has awe and respect and humility before the Lord, for who he is and for the authority that he holds. The fear of the Lord causes us to walk in dependence on him in every area of our lives, living under his authority and his direction. A commentator writes, fearing the Lord relates to trust, humility, teachability, servanthood, responsiveness, gratitude, and reliance on God. It's the exact opposite of autonomy and arrogance. So when we have an awe and a respect and a humility before God, then we're able to hear and trust and obey the wise counsel that he gives us, the wisdom that he gives us, whether he gives it to us directly or whether he speaks it to us through others. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is not acquired through a mechanical formula, but through a right relationship with the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the very first step that we have to take, the precedent, in a sense, we have to set if we want to walk in wisdom. So now that we've established that foundational step in getting wisdom, let's look at some other things that we can learn about wisdom through the book of Proverbs. And I'm going to do a little acronym here for you. Oh yeah, I forgot. Job 28:28. And to the man he said, and he being God, and to the man God said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. All right, let's go to some other things we can learn about wisdom through the Proverbs. W, want it. Proverbs 4:7 says, the beginning of wisdom is acquire wisdom, and with all your acquiring, get understanding. And I like the Message version. It says, above all and before all, do this, get wisdom. Write this at the top of your list. Get understanding. So it seems pretty elementary, but a key ingredient in acquiring wisdom is to make up your mind that you want wisdom and that you'll do what it takes to get it. If you don't truly want wisdom in a particular area, then let's be honest, you're not really going to do what it takes to get it. You know, I was thinking, what's an example I could use? And I thought, recently I've told Merle that I really would like for us to get a new kitchen table. So I say that I want it, and I do, but at this point, I'm not really willing to go out and look for kitchen tables, and I'm not really willing to part with the money to buy a kitchen table. So I don't really want one that badly, and I'm pretty sure that one isn't going to just miraculously plop in our kitchen one morning without me doing what it takes to get one because I want one. So it is for wisdom. If I don't truly want wisdom, then I'm not going to be seeking out the Lord to go and find it, to hear him, to hear the wisdom through others. So in order to get wisdom, we have got to decide that we want it. And you know what? God loves honesty. That's one of the things I love about the Psalms. David was so honest. So if you don't want wisdom, just be honest and tell the Lord. I know I should want wisdom in this area, but to be honest, I don't. I don't want it right now. Because God can change your heart. But we have got to want wisdom. Oh. I don't know how that happened. Okay, wisdom, it is God-given and it requires humility in order to receive it. It's God-given and it requires humility in order to receive it. Proverbs 2:6-7. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. And Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. the Lord is the giver of all wisdom. You know, we might walk in an abundance of wisdom in a particular area, or even have wisdom to speak into the lives of others, but we need to remember that ultimately it all comes from Him. It's not from our human effort or ability. It all is God-given. And it also requires a measure of humility to receive wisdom. Being a know-it-all doesn't allow us to receive wisdom. If we think we know it all, and nobody's wiser than me, and I've got this all, and we're pretty prideful about it, that is not a posture to be in to receive wisdom. I was reading this morning in Isaiah as part of my reading, and it was interesting. Isaiah 5:21 says, "Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight." Like, woe is not, that's not like, whoa, awesome. It's like, whoa. Like, be careful if you think you're wise in your own eyes. We need a measure of humility to receive wisdom. Receiving wisdom, both from the Lord directly, reading scripture, you know, God speaking to us, or receiving it from others, from those who are ahead of us in an area, more experienced, that requires a measure of humility. It requires us saying, I don't know it all. Like, I don't know everything. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to make this decision. That takes humility. And in fact, in Proverbs 11:2, it says that it's the humble who do have the wisdom. So doesn't that make you want to just say, Lord, I just humble myself before you. I don't know what to do. I need wisdom. I don't know it all. So wisdom is God-given and requires humility on our part in order to be able to receive it. Third, seek it. Seek it. Proverbs 2:4-6. If you seek her, wisdom, which in Proverbs, her is referring to wisdom. So it says, if you seek her, meaning wisdom, as silver, and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God, for the Lord gives wisdom. This is one of those if-then clauses in Scripture. If you seek for wisdom, then you will find it. How can you find something? How can you find anything if you don't go looking for it? You know, I have a couple of members in my family who lose their keys periodically. Well, if they just sat down and said, where are my keys? And never looked for them, they wouldn't find them. We have got to go looking for something that we're trying to find. We've got to seek it. And seeking wisdom involves taking the time to listen and to be attentive. Listen and be attentive. Proverbs 2:2 says, make your ear attentive to wisdom. I don't know how much more blatant and simple that can be. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. You have got to listen. Back in Job, I'll pick on our buddy Job a little bit. Back in chapter 33 of Job, all his friends were giving him, you know, all this advice as to, here's why you're going through so much trouble. You did all these awful things. And there was one friend of his, Elihu, and he is speaking to Job and giving him his opinion on where Job has gone wrong and why all this tragedy is happening to him. And I love this. He basically tells Job to be quiet so he can speak. And in Job 33:33, he said, keep silent and I will teach you wisdom. And when I read that, I immediately thought, I feel like that's what God has to say to me sometimes. Would you just be quiet and I'll teach you wisdom? Keep silent and I will teach you wisdom. We need silence before God so that he can teach us wisdom. Recently, actually it was a week ago Friday, Merle and I took our second son, moved him up to New York City. And it's really different going up to New York City, like on a train and popping out of the station, than it is driving in New York City in somebody else's car that we had to borrow. So on the way there, I heard of this new app for directions, and it was great. Like, we're using it, and she's talking to us the whole way, and it was great because she's like, construction ahead, you know, detour. Like, it was really good. Well, as we're getting closer and closer, we're getting to the point, if you're familiar, going up to New York City, at least the way we went, you can either go to the Holland Tunnel or the Lincoln Tunnel. And the whole way, the whole 5.5 hours, she's like, you know, 74 miles to the Holland Tunnel. We're like, well, we get right up there, and she says, take a right to the Lincoln Tunnel. So we're all like, all this noise. Like, I'm going, what do you mean? And Mo's like, wait, are we going to the Lincoln or the Holland? And Trevor's like, that app is not right. And so he's putting on another app, so he's got his app on. My app's still going. Merle's like, which way are we going? And we chose the wrong way. We chose the Lincoln Tunnel instead of the Holland Tunnel, and it was a mess. Like, there was an accident right as you're trying to get onto the Lincoln Tunnel, so we sat in dead traffic, which, you know, this man's awesome, but he hates standstill traffic, hates it. So it was a test of the fruit of his spirit. What kind of fruit came out of his spirit? It was good fruit. But you know what? We did not have time to listen. We could not be silent, and we had two apps speaking to us, and Merle saying, which way are we supposed to go? Which way are we supposed to go? You know, we still got there, but it was a mess getting there. And I thought, what a great parallel. When we don't take time to listen to God, in his mercy, we'll still get there, but it can be a mess and take a lot longer than it should have. Seek wisdom and take time to listen for the wisdom of God. Seek wisdom. D, don't despise it. Don't despise wisdom. Why not? I'll give you one great scripture. Proverbs 1:7, fools despise wisdom and instruction. So if you would like to be considered a fool, go right ahead and despise wisdom. But we are fools if we despise wisdom. And secondly, in Proverbs 1:24-32, there is a long list of not so favorable consequences when we refuse, neglect, and despise wisdom. I'll just read in the New Living. It says, I, meaning wisdom, I called you so often, but you wouldn't come. Wisdom called to us, but we ignored it. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disasters engulf you like a cyclone and anguish and distress overwhelm you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me. For they hated knowledge and chose not to fear the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Therefore, they must eat the bitter fruit of living their own way, choking on their own schemes. There is consequences to not following God's wisdom. You know, I wish I could say that there wasn't. I'm just reading scripture. Now, God's a God of redemption and restoration, absolutely. But when we know the wisdom of God and don't follow it, there just will be consequences. So don't despise wisdom. Don't do it. Don't despise wisdom. Oh, wisdom opens up a long list of blessings. When we follow wisdom, there is a long list of blessings. Proverbs 3, starting in verse 13. How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For its profit is better than the profit of silver, and its gain than fine gold. She, again wisdom, she is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honors. Honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast. I don't know about you, But I'm all about long life, honor, riches, pleasantness, peace, happiness. If that is the fruit of wisdom, then I want it. Compared to what we read, the fruit of not following God's wisdom, I want the fruit of following wisdom. It opens up a long list of blessings. And lastly, M, make it a priority. Make wisdom a priority. In 2 Chronicles 1 is the story of Solomon, King Solomon. And God shows up one night and says to Solomon, ask me for whatever you want. Whatever you want. Can you imagine? Like God comes to you and says, ask me for whatever you want. And instead of asking for riches and honor or wealth, Solomon asks for wisdom. He made wisdom his priority. He made wisdom his priority. And the neat thing was that God was so pleased that that's what he asked for, that he not only did he give Solomon wisdom, but he also wound up giving him the riches and the honor and the wealth that he didn't ask for. It is such a great example of Matthew 6:33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added to you. Solomon sought first the wisdom of God, and God gave that to him, and then all those other things were added to him. Make wisdom a priority. If I could get Maria to come up. I want to read to you Proverbs 8, 1 through 6. Does not wisdom call out and understanding lift up her voice? On top of the heights beside the way where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she cries out, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O naive ones, discern prudence, and O fools, discern wisdom. Listen, for I shall speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will produce right things. Can we stand, and can I have the ministry team come up right now? Ministry team. God so desperately wants us to hear and know his wisdom. These verses I just read said, wisdom calls out from the heights. Wisdom is at the city entrance, on the road. There is no doubt that wisdom is trying to make herself known and obvious. If one of us was screaming from the heights or screaming at the city entrance or at the gate, wouldn't it be like, oh, that person's trying to draw attention to herself and be known? That's what wisdom is doing. God wants us to know his wisdom. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. So today, this morning, if you need wisdom in any area, I'm just asking you to take a step of faith and ask for it. When you ask, he might drop that nugget of wisdom right into your spirit. You might ask him and just feel like, God, answer me just like that. Or he might prompt you to go talk to somebody else who's kind of been there, done that, and has wisdom in that area, is a little bit ahead of you and has wisdom. I don't know how God will answer you. I don't want to box him in. But I do know that he will give you wisdom. He wants to give us his wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God who gives generously to all.
If any of you lack wisdom, he gives generously to all. So as Maria plays for a little bit, I just invite you to come forward and have one of these people pray with you for wisdom. You don't even have to share what it's about if you're not comfortable with. The Holy Spirit knows. And just agree with somebody, I need wisdom. So come, ask, and receive wisdom. And after a little bit, I'll pray and dismiss us.